Good morning, people. It is June the 28th, 2019. Good morning to all of you, and especially for all of you out there, and you know, good morning to you, Beans. Good morning, Beans. Yes. Yes. Yes, Bean. Yes. Yes, I'll do that, Beans. I promise. I promise. I promise, you motherfucker. Yeah, so Beans just sent me a message. As you well know, or you may not know, as some of you may not know, if I say crocodile, you might as well, you know, substitute the word... Oh, fuck. Fuck you, Beans. He just triggered my phone. Yeah, Beans, you're a fuck, man. You're a fuck. That's all I'm gonna say to you. He just triggered... Anyways, if I say crocodile, you know that I mean government. If I say crocodile, you know I mean government. If I say beans, I'm talking about my sister's French bulldog. And listen, folks, I don't want to beat up on French bulldogs every fucking time, or beans in particular. But that was actually Beans' voice talking to me across the space-time continuum. Beans is a demon fuck. I'm telling you. Beans is a mofo. Beans is a total jerk. Now, you could say, oh, but he's so cute, he's so nice. He's so cute, he's so nice. I don't know, maybe, but he also looks tasty. And those chicken leg thighs, Beans. Uncle Dan's imagining your chicken leg thighs, Beans. That's right. So anyways, Beans is a French bulldog, and he's a jerk, and he's partially demon. And if you ask me, I think this is the genetic makeup of a French bulldog. Maybe 1/1,000,000th of a percent dog. Maybe. The rest is all rat and skunk and riprap and metal shavings and sawdust and broken glass, gasolines, and Satan. And that's the bulk of a French bulldog. And if you understand that, then you understand the truth, and that's fine. Anyways, I have a set of topics to get through. Technically, I should be getting ready for work. That's what that alarm was. It was my reminder to wake up and pull myself together and get my shit together to head over to Willy Wonka's. And I'll probably do that, of course, but I'm feeling the need to testify like Howard Beale and Network. No, I'm not going to tell you to go out to your balcony and scream into the morning, I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore. But you know, truly, folks, sometimes we all feel like fucking screaming that shit. You know that. Don't be stupid. Anyways, the first topic is a bit religious, so I feel like I should put on the organ. Yeah, that's right. That's the organ tone. That's enough of that overly dramatic frickin' organ music, right? Anyways, first topic is the following statement, and it's going to sound a bit crazy, but I'm going to say it anyways. If science in general if all of the material philosophers and empiricists were able to A, prove definitively that God existed, and B, share the proof, basically, share the proof, share the information. If it became commonly accepted knowledge, like so many people believe the Earth is a globe and gravity is a thing, and human beings landed on the moon in the late 60s and early 70s but forgot how they did it. If all of that is true, then imagine it was commonly held, or at least believed suddenly. Like all the scientists said, folks, we've discovered that God is real, God exists, it's absolutely certain in empirical terms, we have the proofs, we have the formulas, we have the experiments. I'm going to tell you this, folks. This is important because these are the times when it's important to be blunt, right? Or to smoke a blunt. Either be blunt or smoke a blunt. Don't be a dope. Smoke some dope. Anyways, these days, you need to understand how huge these things are. If science could prove God existed, I think that there would be a plague of, well, I don't know how to put this. I don't think it would be a plague of madness. I think that, but I do think it could be like the end times. I really do. If science could prove that God existed, I think we would immediately skip basically to the worst parts of Revelations. And you say, well, wait a minute, Dan, that sounds crazy. If science proved God existed, wouldn't everybody come together as Christians? And folks, I don't know how to put this, but others have said this before me, so it's not original. The devil knows God exists. You don't need to prove to the devil God exists. Lucifer was cast out of heaven. He hates humans. He probably still loves God, folks. Okay? That's how crushes work. You know, Job, of course, is one of the wisdom books. But if you read Job, it almost reads like God, the God and the devil probably have chats every once in a while. But the point is, the bottom line is this. The devil knows God exists. The demons know God exists. That's not a question for them. They know God exists. Are you freaking kidding me? Demons know God exists. Even the French bulldog beans, that little fuck, knows that God exists. That's not really the issue here. If science came out and proved definitively that God existed with the same level of veracity and certainty that there is gravity and the Earth is a globe, if science came out and was able to do that, I think society would rapidly split essentially into two halves. And yeah, it would be fucking mind-boggling. It's like the people of Yugoslavia hearkening back to the mid-1980s, thinking to themselves, holy fuck, we once hosted the fucking Olympics, and now we're fucking chopping each other's heads off. Fuck. And of course Yugoslavia no longer exists. Most of you young people probably don't even know what the fuck Yugoslavia was. And guess what? That's a lesson you should study. Yeah, I really do think if it became acceptedly true by all people that God existed, I don't think it would lead to a peaceful paradise. And I'll even go further. I think there's a reason why God doesn't do big miracles all the time. I think that there's a kind of violation of agreement. You know, God, the Lord in heaven, gave us free will. Okay, think about this for a second. The Lord in heaven gave us free will. If God made it easy to figure out that God existed, what would happen to our free will? I mean, of course, we'd still have it, but it would be a very different game. I know God exists, but does that mean I always do what God would want me to do? No. I mean, I try to. I'm trying to be a better Christian, but if you want me to tell you that I'm not a sinner, come on, it's fucking Friday. It's Friday. Beans, that fuck, is screaming demon noises into my ear. Yes, I'm a sinner. I don't do nearly enough to help people. I don't pray nearly enough. I don't thank the Lord enough for the things I have. I am a sinner, absolutely, 100% positively, just to make that fucking clear as I drink my fucking coffee. If I know God exists, and so I know that whatever I do is going to have absolute consequences, but I also just, I make mistakes, I make choices. But the problem is, I think most of the human race, and this is going to sound bad the way I'm about to phrase this, but sometimes I think this is true. A lot of people just kind of go with the flow. And if God was proven to exist, a lot of people, and I think this would become very black and white, a lot of people would join a kind of counter army, a kind of we hate God army. And I know this would exist. I'm telling you, folks, most of the atheists you meet don't, it's not so much that they don't believe God exists. I'll be honest with you. It's not really that. It's that they pretty much hate God. And they're taking a lot of shit that was done to them and blaming God for it. And folks, I got to be honest with you. If you're blaming God for the wars and the drugs or any of the violence, if you're blaming God for the taxes and your shitty government and all the prisons, if you're blaming God for this crooked economy, you're blaming the wrong fucking person. Blame yourself. Blame humans. Blame Lucifer, because Lucifer does his part to fuck with us and destroy us. Lucifer wants us dead, FYI. But blaming God is not the right answer. If anything, it just goes a long ways to show how truly fucked up we are and how not much has changed since the Old Testament. I mean, every fucking 40 seconds, as I've told you in the past, you read the Old Testament, the history books of it. I don't mean the wisdom books particularly, but the history books, okay? The books of the Old Testament that deal with the history of the chosen people. You read the fucking history books of the chosen people, and every 40 seconds, God is saving them. And then 40 seconds later, you know, in God's time, the fucking Hebrews are turning towards false gods and wondering why God abandoned them. Folks, listen, the cycle of apostasy is not new. This behavior is not new. I'm telling you, and I want to leave this topic at this point. I really truly believe if there was an absolute proof for God's existence that everybody agreed to, society would probably tear itself to pieces. You know, irrespective of its impact on free will, society would completely tear itself to pieces. And I think that's essentially the, if you want to know what the guts of Revelations really is, the guts of Revelations, and in fact, think about the word Revelations, to reveal. Think about it. In many ways, the guts of Revelations is about revealing the fact that, yes, God exists. Yes, there's a devil. Yes, there is an eternal battle. And yes, God will win. Jesus Christ wins in the end. That is what's revealed. There will come a time when there will be things so spectacular that it will be impossible for even the most hardcore materialist, empiricist, atheist to ignore them. And when those things happen, I'm telling you, folks, I'm telling you, folks, when those things start happening, when particular events actually really do seem to coincide with the words of Revelations, when those things begin to happen, I think, you know, yeah, life's going to get crazy. Life's going to get weird. And I don't know what to tell you. If you want me to tell you that I think it's simple, that suddenly everyone will just believe in God and also love God, I'm sorry. I think the Hebrews knew God existed, and I think the Hebrews periodically turned away from God. Okay? Solomon, who was given the gift of wisdom, folks, okay? Listen to me. King Solomon, who when God asked him, "What gifts do you want?" he said, "Give me wisdom." Solomon turned from God at one point. Solomon turned towards false gods at one point. So, folks, I'm telling you, this is it. This is Friday. What am I getting all serious? I got a little serious there. I'm going to scratch that topic off my list, and we're going to move on, peoples. We're going to move on to the next topic. And the next topic is one that's dear to my heart because I'm working on it. It relates both to my religion, but particularly my philosophy. And I'm going to state the topic in these terms. Instead of demanding a law, like saying there ought to be a law, there are a lot of people where it ought to be a law. That's the way they look at the world. It's like, there ought to be a law, Dan. There ought to be a law. Why isn't there a law? Why isn't there a law, Dan? And that's the thing. There are a lot of people who will encounter a problem in their community and then will exclaim to the fucking high heavens there ought to be a law. Now, folks, as you well know, A, I'm an anarchist, and B, when I say crocodile, you can substitute government And I mean the whole schmeal, schmoggle, the whole fucking thing. I don't just mean the people that are elected. I just don't mean the bureaucrats. I mean the corporate cronies. I mean the whole fucking evil donut that surrounds Washington, D.C. I mean the whole fucking thing. Government. If I say crocodile, you can just substitute the word government, and that's how you know where I'm coming from. A lot of people will encounter a problem in their lives, in their community, and exclaim to their friends and their neighbors, there ought to be a law. No, there oughtn't to be. What you should do instead is sit down and think and ask yourself, what can you do? Instead of there ought to be a law, it should be you ought to do something. That's the thing, folks. A lot of people will classify anarchists as folks who don't want to do anything, and that's really a load of shit. Now, it is true. I don't want to participate in your broken system if I can avoid it. Okay? I don't have to vote yet. I'm sure they'll pass a law in the future forcing everyone to vote. I'm sure they will, especially the Democrats seem to love doing that stupid fucking shit. So I'm sure they will. But as of now, I am not forced to vote because I think voting is stupid. It's not connected to anything, and even if it were, it would essentially be gang warfare. Okay? But I don't have to vote, so I don't. To the extent that I don't participate in your system is the measure of my realistic levels of anarchy. Okay? Truly, I live in this fucking prison camp just like you. That's the truth. Instead of, there ought to be a law. Instead of, the government ought to do something. We should ask ourselves what we can do. Folks, this is a man in the mirror moment because I have tried and tried and tried to figure out ways to become a deeper part of the people around me. I have given up on social media because I think it's total bullshit. It's toxic as fuck. I mean, I guess you could say I'm online. I have a website. I publish the SoundCloud. But that's more or less it, folks, and I'm happy with that. In fact, that might be too much, but that's about it. But I really do want to get engaged in my community. I don't feel welcome in Seattle any longer. It's not really my community in a cultural sense. Yeah, it's true. I grew up in Washington State. Yeah, it's true. I went to school in Seattle, and do I feel welcome in this fucking city? No, most of the time I don't. Most of the time when I hear your conversations, I'm more deeply offended than any of the fucking social justice warriors on Snowflake campus at the UW. Okay? That's the fucking truth. That's reality. Most of you motherfuckers in Seattle are, there ought to be a law, people. You all want to legalize every fucking thing. And what I would ask all of you to do is what I'm trying to ask myself to do, and I'm trying to change. Instead of there ought to be a law, which I'm already opposed, obviously, you need to take the next step, which I'm working on. You ought to do something. If you're sick and tired about the fact that the orca whale population in the Puget Sound is about to fucking go to zero at some point, and that they're all going to be dead, and that people will forget that there ever were orcas, or that we fucking kidnapped their children, or put them in fucking torture fucking concrete ponds. Yeah, instead of fucking passing another law, we ought to get out there and try to figure out a way to fucking save the ecosystem in the Puget Sound from collapsing. And that's not about passing a law. And that's not about putting a gun to people's head. That's about convincing people that there's a problem and making a rational fucking argument. And telling them that when a pinnacle predator is dying, it means everything underneath it is collapsing. That's what that means, folks. Orcas are a top of the food chain predator. If orca whales are dying off in the Puget Sound, that means an entire ecosystem under their fucking bodies, under their fucking situation, their foundation is crumbling. Instead of there ought to be a law, we all ought to do something. All these fucking wars, we don't need more laws to stop these wars. We just need to stop these fucking wars. Period. No law required, just action. And here's the other thing too, folks. It's not about perfection. As I stated earlier, I'm a sinner. I'm a fuck up. It's not about perfection in your life. To do something right, it doesn't mean you have to like fucking change everything. Maybe all it means is grabbing a garbage bag, maybe two bags to separate recyclables, right? Grab a couple garbage bags on Saturday morning, walk around Little Saigon and pick up garbage. That's what I've been telling myself. Like, I need to do something like that, even if it seems futile. Because it's worth trying to do, and you don't have to be perfect. That's A. B, it's not about everybody. If changing the world was about everybody, the human race would be fucked. It really would be. It's not about everybody. We don't have to convince everybody in the Puget Sound to change the way they behave to save the Puget Sound. We just have to convince enough people. That's it. It's not about everybody. It's never been that way. It's about enough people, enough minds, enough bodies doing the right thing. And then all of a sudden, without a law, without a lawyer, without a fucking politician, and without the fucking crocodile's approval, all of a sudden we're changing the world. All of a sudden, maybe we're making it a little less miserable of a fucking place. Folks, this idea that there ought to be a law is bullshit. What we ought to do is meditate and think rationally and deliberate and make compelling arguments and change the world through voluntary action on the basis of liberty and dignity and respect. Anyways, next topic, right? It's Friday. It's Friday, folks. It's Friday, and you know what that means. It's Disco Friday. It's probably Coustalizer Friday at Willy Wonka's. The Coustalizer comes on, and Uncle Dan prepares to go out on the town. That fucking Coustalizer is fucking amazing. Actually, the next topic is more of a joke. Oh my God. This is, I don't know how much of a topic this is, or just kind of a joke, but I was talking with my sister a few months ago, I think, maybe a few weeks ago, and we were drinking, and I joked, and I think it was about a month ago, I said, you know, I realized I was Irish, and I may have told you guys this joke before, but I realized I was Irish when I began to drink alone. And there's a lot of truth to that fucking shit, folks. I knew I was Irish. I was 100% Irish when I started to drink alone, and then I preferred my own company to all other company. And I'm working on it, folks. I'm working on it. People shouldn't just drink alone. That's actually bad for you psychologically, emotionally, whatever, and physically. But I do have a cerveza or two when I get home at night. I will not lie. That is the truth. God knows that. Anyways. But I was thinking about this this phrase, this old-timey phrase, maybe old-timey. It's more old-timey than today because it's probably, I don't know the etymology of it. I don't know when the phrase was first used. I'm not even sure I fucking care. But there's this phrase you'll hear sometimes in the English language, Americana, blah, 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 in the idiom. There's this phrase you'll hear in the idiom. You're driving me to drink. You ever hear that phrase, you're driving me to drink? You're driving me to drink, kids. You're driving me to drink. You're driving me to drink. And I was thinking about that, and it's like, I'm Irish, okay? If you're driving me to drink, it's about 10 feet away. I get into my car, I drive 10 feet, and I'm there. In fact, driving me to drink basically means the distance to the refrigerator. So it's funny because it's like, you're driving me to drink. Like, yeah, I'm Irish. You know, we arrived here yesterday. We're already drinking. The drive was not long. It was about 100 feet, you know. For an Irishman, if you're driving me to drink, the drive is not long. It's about maybe 10 or 20 feet, at most 100. You get there in seconds, really. In seconds. And that topic's dead. This next topic is kind of related to the earlier one we discussed about there ought to be a law. Because a lot of people say, well, Dan, if I don't have laws and cops and magical giant crocodiles with nuclear weapons, my life will not be, it'll fall apart. People will start stabbing each other, killing each other. It'll be homeless people in the streets and opioid epidemics and banking crises, and you see where I'm fucking going. Yeah, we already have those fucking things. We have those things. We have lots of those things, and the crocodile loves those things. I will repeat this once again because it needs to be repeated. In the media and in literature, but definitely in the propaganda, people will use the word anarchy when they should use the word chaos. It'll be like, do you want anarchy? They should say, do you want chaos? But they know the truth. They know that the true agent of chaos is the crocodile. They know the crocodile loves chaos because chaos is its TV, okay? The crocodile loves chaos. It is its entertainment. Fuck you. It loves chaos. French bulldogs will love to eat their own vomit three times, and the fucking crocodile loves fucking chaos. But yeah, they'll do that. But anyways, people will say, if we do not have the crocodile, if we do not have cops, you know, doing their cop job, if we don't have bombers and bombs, if we're not liquidating populations, Dan, everything will go crazy. Well, A, as I've stated, I think things are already fucking crazy, and B, you're missing the fucking point. Folks, here's the deal. If you're a determinist, which means you don't believe in free will, then you should stop listening at a certain point. You know that I'm a radical supporter of free speech. So if you're some snowflake determinist from the University of Washington, dejected cisgender radical deconstructive program, fuck you. You don't have to listen. It's called the off button. I have a podcast about it. Find it. Find the off button. Find the switch. Go to another fucking channel. Okay? If you don't believe in free will, none of what I'm saying will make any sense at all. It'll sound like nonsense. Go fuck yourself, Skinner. Go into your pigeons and do your fucking stimulus response training. Fuck you. But on the other hand, if you're like me and recognize that you can make choices, and you ought to make rational, logical choices when you can, then you can keep listening. Cops do not protect your property. They don't. Cops don't protect your children. They really, really don't. The bombers do not protect us from having bombs dropped on us. If you believe they do, you're crazy. The only thing that protects us from each other in reality, and this is where we have to look at ourselves in the mirror, and this isn't about perfection, folks, because if it was about perfection, if it was about being perfect people, the human race would be fucked. It's not about perfection. It's just about doing better. The thing that protects your property, protects your children, protects your life is virtue. Virtue. I don't mean perfect virtue. I don't mean the virtue of some knightly, lordly king who never makes a mistake and remains a virgin till he's 45 and is out there fucking saving the day every fucking day. I don't mean that. I don't mean perfect virtue of a saint. Listen, we all want to be like Jesus Christ, but folks, there was just one Jesus Christ, okay? There was one God, there's one Jesus Christ, there's one Holy Spirit. We all want to be like Jesus Christ, but the reality is, most of us are not going to be Jesus Christ. Pretty much all of us won't be. We just do the best we can. It isn't about perfection, but what protects your property is virtue. What protects your car is virtue. What protects your children and your life is virtue. It is the fact that other people, hopefully, possess enough morals, enough moral courage, the right kind of moral courage, so they don't go around killing each other. You could argue this is the Pareto principle applied to the Ten Commandments. For all intents and purposes, whether people will admit it or not, most of the Ten Commandments is pretty good fucking advice. Don't kill people. That's good fucking advice. Don't take another person's wife or property. Dude, people, listen, that's really good fucking advice. Respect your parents. I think that's great fucking advice. The point is that most people, even the atheists, will admit that there are parts of the Ten Commandments, maybe 50% of them for a lot of people, that they really fucking agree with and they can't disagree with, you know, unless they're like fucking Satanists or French bulldogs. What protects your property? What protects your car? What protects your home? What protects your loved ones is virtue. It is moral principle. It is the fact that people are willing to deny their drives, their sexual drives, their desire for stuff, out of respect for their neighbors. And let's even go deeper, out of love in a lot of cases. And if not love for their neighbors, love for the fact that they would prefer to live that way than to be running around worried about whether someone is going to beat them to death. Now, here's the hard part, folks. I think the crocodile society, the government-based society, fosters the opposite. They prefer you have no understanding of right and wrong. They would prefer you have no thought process or principles. They want to do all the thinking, folks. They want to tell you what right is, what wrong is. They will tell you that war is peace, that truth is a lie. They will tell you this. The crocodile does not want you thinking for yourself. That's not a mystery, folks. And because of that, we have generations of people alive in America today, including people my own fucking ancient age of 50, who have no moral compass. And if you take away the crocodile, folks, oh my God, my Lord in heaven. If you take away their fear of the crocodile, they will kill you and stab you and beat you. They will abuse your family, your children. They will burn your house. They will steal your shit. There is no virtue there. That's the thing you need to think about, folks, because in a free society, what protects you is virtue. In any society, what protects you is virtue. Even today, the thing that protects you is virtue. And the fact is, there ain't a lot of virtue out there. So if you're asking yourself how safe you are, ask yourself whether or not your neighbors are the kinds of people who do the right thing because A, it's the right thing to do, or B, because they're afraid of the fucking crocodile. Because if it's B, folks, if you live in a neighborhood, and man, I know there are some neighborhoods in Seattle like this. There are some neighborhoods in Seattle filled with Danish folk. Danish folk who come from Danish realms. Danish folk who come from the outer realms of the disease zone. Yeah, so if you want to live in a safe and peaceful and decent society, you need enough people to behave in more or less decent ways. Not perfection, not everybody, but you need enough people who are just generally speaking good people. You know, it's the reality, it's the actual crowd immunity, but it's the immunity to bullshit and bullies. And frankly, little magical crocodiles. Because folks, here's the deal. If we lived in Uncle Dan's magical liberty paradise, and I'm not joking to joke, I wish we did, but if we did, there'll always be tiny little magical crocodiles who come along and say, well, listen, folks, if we had a coalition of committees that we voted for every per annum and got paid a fee, blah, 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 we could make sure that we have bridges. There will always be flim-flam people. There will always be con artists. There will always be people selling patent medicine today and for always. And the little magical crocodile will always be there trying to convince you to have some government. Just don't fall for it. Not that that's an option. We already live in the crocodile paradise. We already live in the crocodile rock. Fuck. That topic's dead. At work the other day. So, yeah. At Willy Wonka's, sometimes it can feel like, you know, I don't know. I never watched that. I don't really watch TV shows. I watch a couple, but I don't watch a lot of them. But I don't really watch reality TV shows. But I do know there's a show called Survivor. And, you know, people get kicked off the island, whatever. Yeah, so Willy Wonka's, there was 6 and now there's 4. So people periodically get kicked off the island at Willy Wonka's, especially if you're an Oompa Loompa. I'm an Oompa Loompa, not a Smurf. So as an Oompa Loompa, I have no real, you know, special protection a lot of the Smurfs like to pretend I do, but then they spend half their time at magical little learning escapades and hackathons and other kinds of bullshit. So in reality, yeah, I think that's a fucking escapade of bullshit. But no, as an Oompa Loompa, I don't really have much of a tether to existence. Anything can happen. I will say, this particular Willy Wonka role, this job, this particular contract, it's the least worst of all I've had so far. Like, so far, most of the places I've worked at Willy Wonka's in the past as a contractor have been really quite terrible. Really just different levels of just terrible. This particular contract so far isn't quite so terrible. And you could say, well, Dan, at least you have a fucking job. Folks, if I get another fucking response about how I should be singing the Happy Workers song, go fuck yourself. I'm 50 fucking years old, and I live in a fucking prison camp. Yeah, I'm well fed. Yeah, I got a home, I got food, I got water, I got shelter. I'm alive. But if you're going to tell me to be thankful for having my income decrease every fucking year my whole life for being fed bullshit and lies, you want me to be thankful for being treated like a fucking mushroom? Kept in the dark, fed fucking lies, treated like shit. You know something, folks? Go fuck yourself. I am happy I have a job because I have food, I have water, I have shelter. I thank the Lord in heaven for those things. But I don't thank the crocodile, and I sure as fuck don't thank Willy Wonka. But yeah, as Willy Wonka contracts go, this is about the least bad one ever. The other day we had a major, major meeting on our team at Willy Wonka's, and one of our super advisors, Prince McNugget, was giving a briefing on how we're going to do a new type of thing called Special Azure DevOps, and we were talking about, you know, business process and how we're going to handle bugs and issues and incidents and keep the great snake going, because as long as the great snake is alive, as long as Ard the great snake survives, all will be well. Ard must be kept alive. So yeah, we had that meeting, and at the meeting, and it was almost like, you know how in Othello, and of course it's meant ironically, but in Othello, there's that phrase, that line, the lady doth protest too much. And of course, in that particular case, she was telling the truth, right? I think Desdemona was telling the truth. But the point is, in this particular scenario, the lady doth protest too much. Multiple minion tier slave lord leaders, Willy Wonka, said the following in this meeting. They said essentially, well, you know, you need to work yourself out of a job, and if you make things more efficient, that's just the best way to keep your job. Now, folks, like I said, of all my Willy Wonka contracts so far, this one is the least worst, and I'm actually thankful for it. But that's a fucking bullshit lie. Anybody who's been a fucking software engineer in the King County area in the last fucking 20 years knows that's a fucking lie. If you get things really efficient and you solve all the problems, that's how you keep your job. No, dude. In a free world, in a rational world, that would be true. In the upside down, fucked up reality of STEM crises and our public schools are awesome and H-1B visa bullshit and Boeing planes crashing, because probably H-1B visas were working on that too. Yeah, in that fucked up world, that's not fucking true. In the world I live in, if I make things more efficient, which, oh, by the way, folks, I do. It's a matter of moral principle. Even though I know it will lead to my demise, I can't help but try to do the right thing at work. It's just my fucking nature. But the reality is this. If I make something more efficient, it does not protect my job at this point in human history. It just means they can outsource it. That's all. Wake the fuck up. That's the thing. I want to leave this fucking podcast on that note. I like my Willy Wonka contract. I think that my Willy Wonka slave lord leaders are pretty okay, especially my immediate, you know, bosses. I say bosses because I got about four or five of them now, I think. Okay? I sometimes lose count, but they're mostly okay. And that's mostly pretty good. And these days, what can you fucking expect? There are French bulldogs screaming in the night, folks. Oh my god. Oh shit, I think I... Fuck. What is that? What the fuck? What the fuck is that? What is that? I hear something in the night. I don't know what it is. I'm not sure what it is. What the hell? What is that in this morning time? Beans? Okay, folks, I gotta go, because Beans, shut up. Okay. And so Beans is telling me that I have to get ready to... Willy Wonka contacted Beans on Demon Radio. Willy Wonka's contacted Beans on Demon Radio. And that's what I'm saying, folks. It's time to get ready for work. Beans is giving me his messages. We all know Beans is bullshit, but Beans is a son of a bitch, and he's telling me I gotta get to go fucking work. So have a great day. Have a great Friday. Be happy in your fucking job, working a job, paying taxes to the crocodile. We all know that nothing would work without the crocodile. There'd be no roads or bridges or fucking telephones if we didn't have a fucking magical crocodile with either a Republican or Democrat spokesperson. If we didn't have the magical fucking crocodile, we'd be doomed, folks. Fuck.